Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I was partially a jock. I just wasn't a jock, yeah. Right? I wasn't the guy that lived it and breathed
you,
it.
Like, you, like me, Mike, we were theater jocks.
You're disc jockeys.
Disc jocks.
No, I lettered in hockey and I went out for the baseball team.
Vanna, I saw her over the board going,
well,
because I think she's an animatronic dummy.
We can address this because we will have a phoner with Vanna in November.
We're getting Vanna White on the show?
Because she's coming
to
town.
Let me take that back. She is not an animatronic dummy. Here are six things you should never keep in your wallet or purse. I'll give you all six.
Please.
And then you can comment on this. A list of your passwords. A ham. Shut up.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
K-A-V-A-U-G-H-A. I don't know how to spell Kavanaugh.
Spells Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh. Anyway, wow. We don't get political that much anymore on the Mike O'Mara Show, but I will tell you something. The world is talking about yesterday's news cycle.
I wouldn't say it was political. I'd say it's more pop culture now. The way it was all over everything. There was
on Access Hollywood.
Yeah.
It was everywhere, and let me just set this discussion up on the Mike O'Mara Show, ladies and gentlemen, by saying Oscar and Rob and Mike, we're not political pundits. I know I do a political show, but I still don't consider myself in the big leagues of that.
You're the
I
color
love my
guy
show.
On that show.
I like political
persuasions. You're the John Madden of politics.
I have my opinions. I do that on another show. It's called Political Persuasions. If you want to listen, go ahead, check it out. But on this show, I have to say, I don't consider myself an expert. I'm not wonky. I don't come to it from that. A lot of people know my politics. I have a way of thinking. Other people do not.
Very conservative.
There are people from all walks of life
and reserved
that listen to this show and enjoy this show. So I'm not an expert. I'm certainly not an expert on the government. I do not have a degree in political science, so I do not. I could probably give you some very broad strokes as to the way the judicial and the executive and the legislative branch works in the United States. Just let me finish, Rob Spiewak. Put a sock in it for you're chomping to talk, and I just want to get this set up out. Okay, I just want to say we're not experts in that, but there is something that I think all three of us would probably consider consider each other experts in one particular field. I think all of us know about drinking.
Oh yeah,
of course.
This raging alcoholism throughout the show.
A long time. We've all had our stories. We've all had our moments. We've all had experience with that. And because yesterday's testimony on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., home of the Mike O'Mara Show, touched on drinking, I thought it would be an interesting angle to approach this on, because compelling testimony all around yesterday during the testimony between Judge Kavanaugh and the professor, the good professor, ladies, Professor Ford.
There was one piece of testimony that I thought lent itself actually to music. May I play a brief moment of it?
Please do.
I think this will help set us up. There's Brett Kavanaugh, and I think one of Mike's favorites, Tom T. Hall.
Yes, we drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
And I like beer.
Yeah, we drank beer.
It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer.
Sometimes too many beers.
Yes, we like
beer.
We like beer.
Judge we like Kavanaugh, beer.
Thank you very much. Hearing adjourned.
First time Tom T. Hall has been on Capitol Hill in years.
Tom T. Hall, I don't think he's still with us.
Oh, is he not with us anymore? I'm so sorry.
Well, you could check. I'm
double
not sure.
Hockey sticks.
We will send a muffin basket to the Widow Hall.
The hearing was riveting, and I watched a good deal of it. I watched most of her testimony, and I watched most of his testimony. And now it it goes to the old men on the Hill, and we'll see what happens, because very uncertain what's going to happen today. Nobody really knows yet.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you think that the majority of people that are on camera during these hearings know they're on camera?
No, because I think they're caught up in the moment.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's a situation where
I'm not just talking about the reactions.
You have supporters, but you also have people that are just there. You don't have supporters all the time when they're in there. Sometimes they're playing for the other team that's in there,
and they're just there
to observe.
I'm talking about the staffers that are behind the senators.
Oh, the ones that are like extras.
Yeah.
You mean on the dais.
On the dais.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll see it when it's on the news 24/7 today. But when you get a chance, look at the people behind the senators on the dais. And look how many of them look sweaty and tired.
Yeah.
And they probably...
It looked warm in there, did it not? It looked like it was a sweaty environment.
And it was,
you know,
it's one of those old Washington... Was it the Rayburn building it was in? And it wasn't like one of the big halls. It was a little room. It was like having it in someone's living room.
But this is what I think in 2018.
Yeah.
It was the Everybody Loves Raymond building.
You get a lowly staffer and you tell them to grab you some foundation or matte makeup to say, I'm going to be out there all day.
Powder me.
Right.
Please do not make me look like I need to pass out or be on board.
But also there's a fine line, because if you're at a historical moment like that, you can't be all smiles either.
No, I'm not. On board is different than this. And trust, I know I have a resting.
So not
I have
sweaty.
On the show, I have a resting bitch face.
In
I just
life
do.
You
I
do.
Always had, right?
In life.
Yes. So on this show, this is me enjoying myself. This is me, and this is a good video day for you. This is me thinking about something. And this is me sad. As long as you put extremes
you that.
To that,
why can't you put that on CNN?
You're not gonna look like you just don't care, or all you're thinking about is the sweat that is dripping down your forehead
or your back.
It's a strange environment. I became aware of congressional testimony back when we had the Janet Jackson incident, and we were mandated by management to watch the hearings with radio executives. And indecency, that was the big subject. And I became aware at that particular moment that in many cases, these hearings are not necessarily about finding facts as much as they are formats for the political leaders to make their speeches.
Grandstand.
Yes. Yeah, grandstanding.
And it's good what word. They do. They don't do it any other way. But let's get to the incident yesterday. Not the incident, but the testimony yesterday. No one in America knew that what Professor Christine Blasey Ford was going to look like, be like, act like, anything. And she came out, and I think arguably everybody in the country looked at someone and went, oh my goodness, this person is, and the word would be credible.
Yeah.
And it was a compelling testimony. Whether you thought it was a hit job or not, it was compelling testimony. So much so that there wasn't anybody that was impugning her. No one could. They couldn't do it. She was too credible. So she goes on and on and on, and she's questioned by the prosecutor hired by the Republicans. None of the Republican senators even wanted to talk to her.
Yeah,
that was their strategy. And she went on all day long, and it was at the end of the testimony, you came away going, she was very, very credible. Then phase two came in, and Judge Kavanaugh came to the podium, and he looked angry walking down the hallway. He looked pissed off from the minute you saw him. And the one stunning fact, I don't know if you guys heard this yesterday, he claims he didn't watch the testimony of Christine Blasey Ford, which was stunning to me, because I thought he was reacting to that moment when you saw him. And he came in guns a-blazing, was angry, was emotional, was crying. And at there the end of his...
There were a lot of rules that were in place to make this happen. Was that one of the rules that he wasn't allowed to watch it?
No, he was allowed to watch it.
He was allowed to watch it. Okay.
Oh, sure. I think so. I didn't hear anything to the contrary.
All right.
And then he came in angry, and emotional. And how many times have you heard when someone's accused? If I was accused, boy, I've said it myself. I know I've said it myself. If I was accused of something horrible like that, I'd be screaming.
Sure.
Well, he did. He did. He screamed and he yelled and he was frustrated. And we are left after this full day of testimony with Democrats, most of them calling for an FBI investigation, which I think has legitimacy to it. And the Republicans calling this a political smear campaign. And I think everything stayed the same. Almost to a certain extent.
I
yes,
have a few
Oscar.
Questions, and I'm not proud of this, but I only got to watch the last hour.
Okay.
Of the it was on television, and I got the recap in the evening. But I imagine like most people are at work.
Yeah.
It was amazingly stressful to me.
Not easy to watch. He looked every moment of his testimony. He looked like someone at a school event, a parent at a school event that I would avoid. That's what he looked
like.
The
world watched when they could, whether they were streaming it on their computers or they were watching it at their lunch breaks.
Right.
What I'm curious, and from your perspective, is because again, I didn't get a chance to see the entire testimony. I saw a piece of hers, the tail end.
Right.
And then I watched the last hour when they wrapped it up like it was a TV show almost. Like it was a nice button at the end of saying, so you swear to God you didn't do anything wrong. All right, later, we're out. We'll see you next time. How many total hours of testimony was it for him?
I don't know for him. I think the total day was something like 9 hours. That's
sounds about
nine
right.
or 10 hours or mm-hmm. something like that.
Because he looked like he had been put through the mill by the time I turned
on
the TV.
They both did.
Yeah,
he looked
like he was through the mill at the beginning of his testimony. He came in looking
it's
bad.
It's horrible.
Bad week.
I'll tell you, I said many times to myself,
why would you ever want to be Supreme Court justice if you did anything wrong ever?
Yeah.
Great healthcare.
You really...
He got a great plan. No copay. Dental.
I don't know why anyone, and he said this too, and he to that, I can't disagree with that. Why would anybody put themselves through that? Same thing with politics. People, it's a reason they say we don't get the best people in politics. About 11 hours ago, Oscar, I wrote on Facebook a message that I just was compelled to write. I said, okay, I think I might be like many of you tonight where I'm a bit unsettled. I have an idea. Why don't you reach out to someone you totally disagree with politically, but you like in spite of it? I'm sure there are many of us who have those people in our lives. Drop them a line and say something nice. You can tell them you're doing it for whatever reason, but just do it. I just thought it might be something that could help. And I did it. I reached out to a guy that I like a lot down here, a younger guy that's the opposite of me politically. And
is it your governor?
It was Rick Scott.
I thought
that's
so.
That's who
he's
I
so much like. Younger than you.
I said, hey, blank, I just wanted to drop you a line to let you know I'm back in FL. That's Florida for those of you that don't know the abbreviations.
Yeah, you're very hip.
I also wanted to tell you that although I disagree with you about everything politically, I think you're one of my favorite people down here. For some reason, I thought tonight was a good night to do that. Let me know if there are any golf games going on. I'm ready to get back to it. He responded this morning because I think he's working early. Welcome back. How fitting. I disagree with you as well, but I really like you too.
That's sweet.
That's
See
solid.
You soon.
That's great.
And you know what? Through all this crapola, I actually felt better doing it. I was motivated because our great friend Steve Bridges at KCJJ in Iowa City, Iowa, decided to post a wonderful picture of George W. Bush and Michelle Obama hugging each other. And it's one of the most compelling pictures I've ever seen. And we need that.
Yes.
We need that. And you know, it's so funny that on both sides, equally, I'm going to piss people off, but on both sides equally, I'm seeing people that just can't get by it.
Right.
That can't get by it. The people on the left saying to me, oh, yeah, I suppose we should reach out and say thank you for holding our democracy hostage. You know, calm down. I'm not saying that. I disagree with these people. I don't like Judge Kavanaugh. I've made that clear. But on the other side, you've got people saying, you know, well, this is just the worst thing I've ever said. No, there's this lady, I think anybody that saw her testify, she doesn't think it's a smear. She doesn't think that it's that. So that's where we ended up today. But everybody was talking about this. But I had an enormous sense last night of this feeling of unsettledness and that when are we going to ever be able to right this ship?
Yeah,
or is this the way it's going to be forever?
Which you need to keep
we're all going to hate. It's like somebody said, it's like a cold civil war.
It is.
It really is.
But my government is something different than politics. And politics can be very divisive because politics means you have to choose a side. Our government...
You don't have to choose a side.
Well, it's essentially, it is two sides. I mean, just if you...
Yeah, but you don't have to choose one.
You don't have to. But what I'm saying is this. If you take government and separate it from politics, our government has been around for nearly 300 years, and it's always been an organic, changing, adaptive government. And the arguments are that's what makes the change. And so we're in a really ugly, argumentative time right now. I hate that. But some of our greatest developments governmentally and constitutionally have come out of bad times. And if we can ride this out, and please, right, maybe just open your eyes. Yeah. Open your eyes and see both sides. Maybe
like
we
what
can
the gentleman from Leesburg is saying here.
McCarthyism,
I think that's valid.
People were like, let's get all the commies. And then like, maybe they're not commies.
That's right. Exactly. Make a movie. Let Trumbo
Oscar
write a script.
Oscar does Jeff Spicoli summations, which are fun. And they're like, those dudes were bad too.
That's it.
I don't know. You know,
but you know, it is. We've been through bad times in this country before.
Yes.
And I know that it seems really, maybe it seems so bad because it's right now. And when you look back on other bad times.
And I think it's tougher.
I drank last night.
It's tougher for
me too.
Us. I did not. It's
loser.
I know. What a loser. I think it's
maybe three glasses of wine and a grandma before Betty Bob.
Oh, man.
Well, you're out of your stuff to make your spritz.
By the way, here's, you know, this is not a surprise. I know I'm out of the Aperol.
Aperol, honey, we're out of Aperol.
Might be a tell for those that know me. You know, when I write the kind of post that I wrote last night, that's usually a little fuel.
A weak moment.
Oh, Mike, I can smell
it. I don't think it's weak. It's just more creative.
When I read
creative
that.
Creative is how I would describe it.
We're many, many miles apart, but when I read that, I could smell the bitter citrus of Grand Marnier. Even in Virginia, I could smell it.
I have a friend that, I know his politics. They're Mike's politics. And
by the way, you can buy that book at any bookstore.
And
Mike's politics.
I'm writing it right now.
And
I'm writing the book.
He on Facebook said, just so you know, for those of you that may not get a message back from me or because you've written me, know that if you've written a political post, I have muted you. And it's nothing personal. I just don't want this in my life or destroying my feed right now. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to forget about what is not right with this country at the moment. I know what I can do.
That's a feeling.
And that was it.
Signed Rob Ford.
I think we painted a pretty good picture of what happened and how. And I like what Rob had to say. I really hope you're right about that.
I think
I'm
going to
say this one thing about Judge Kavanaugh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because there was a lot of the drinking thing and the beer.
Yes.
And the only time I had a moment where I was kind of like, oh, really? If you're pounding, you know, even it doesn't, I think we can all attest to the fact, and I would welcome a spirited debate on this if you think I'm wrong about any of this.
Right.
But you don't have to black out to forget things that happened when you may have had some drinking.
No, Sunday mornings. Blackouts
can be like total, and blackouts can be, you know, there's a chunk of,
What was his, I guess?
Well, he claims that he remembers everything didn't he kind of say that?
And isn't he kept calendars. Yeah.
He kept calendars, but he remembers everything. He remembers where he was. There's not anybody back then that remembers everywhere they were. You would
even
remember
if you were sober
moment,
35 years ago, you're not going to remember it.
Yeah, you would. And that's the kind where I got a little
except
hinky.
Those like 12 people that are on 60 Minutes that remember everything.
Well, you know what? They're very excited to be on television.
But know who I'm talking about, right? Wasn't that famous actress? On there, I think one of the ladies from Cheers, the actress, she has this photographic memory.
Total Recall.
No, it's Mary Lou Henner and it's Taxi.
Taxi.
Mm-hmm. Total Recall. Yeah, there's certain people that have Total.
But
I think the point I'm trying to make is that I get suspicious when someone says that they, A, like to drink and drank to excess and they can remember everything. No, I don't think it works that way. And
I
think
agree.
That if I was to go back and claim that I remembered everything when I was drinking, it would be horrible.
Yeah.
It would be really, really, really horrible. Yes,
what did you guys write in other people's yearbooks when you were younger?
Oh, God.
I was a douche of douches in high school. I went to private school. Then I went to public school. Everybody knows why. I wrote, good luck with everything. It was really nice to meet you. Yeah. Have fun at Syracuse.
You know what?
Enjoy. Like, we had a great semester.
You speak to... That's interesting you say that. It speaks to a...
just a thought. I was like...
No, but it speaks to, don't you have the sense... I think I did. I'd have to grab the yearbooks from other people that I wrote it, but I could read mine and see what was... I might have mine lying around somewhere.
I know I wrote some drink. Like, we used to go out in the...
But I mean, you have a sense of posterity, right?
Yes.
You have a sense this is going to go on, and they're going to hold on to this. And
you
want to be...
That they'll read that
years from
now.
That's why people write nice things in yearbooks, because you know they're going to keep it forever.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
But he was... Now, and I am not... Listen, I don't... I think I'm like most Americans. If you're going to be... fair here, you're going to say to yourself, can you guys see me okay?
Is
everything doing?
We're shutting off the phones. They didn't know whose phone that was.
Someone did a DDD?
If everything be a lot of, you believe one person, you don't believe another. That's fine. I think that, I think if you're a reasonable person, you could say there would be last minute information that would come back to refute one person or the other. Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't be a big deal either, because nobody really knows. Nobody really, really knows. What I do know is this. I know the type of guy, based on all that yearbook stuff and the nicknames and the, he was a jock.
He was.
Obviously.
Yeah.
He was a jock. And everybody, and look, I know I'm going to get yelled at now. I know I'm going to get yelled at, but a lot of jocks had that kind of tude.
Yeah.
Right? You know, where I'm going over to Zippy's house. Hey, Skew, I'm going to do Tobin. Yeah. All right. You know, I mean, that guy, I was partially a jock. I just wasn't a jock,
yeah.
Right? I wasn't the guy that lived it and breathed
it. Like, like me, Mike, we were theater jocks.
You're disc jockeys.
Disc jocks.
No, I lettered in hockey and I went out for the baseball team. So I'm telling you that I was a jock, but I also knew back in the dark ages in the 70s when I went shortly before Kavanaugh went to high school, I remember there were, these were the groups. Let me see if I've got it right. God, it was
Socias,
Sportos,
it was over 40 years
Socias.
Ago.
Yeah.
You had the Stoners.
Yeah.
People that smoked a lot of pot.
The dweebs.
Remember that.
Yeah,
you had the gearheads. You had the guys that were kind of like motor guys.
Grease
that
monkeys.
Had like shop and stuff like that. You had the jocks.
Yes.
Blockheads.
And then I think you had the kind of my social circle, which was a hybrid of a bunch of different kids. I was in the theater. I was in the sports. Say,
nomads.
We had the theater group that it was that sort of broke.
You were the nerds.
Yeah, but we
you
sort
were,
of
you were the nerds. Yeah,
but we sort of it broke into even and that there was a subgroup, because there was like the tech theater people, and then there was the on stage theater people. But we all got along.
You were the talent.
Yeah, I suppose I was the talent. Well, no, I never ran lights or anything.
Oscar doesn't talk about this. We have to take a break, and we'll continue this discussion. Oscar doesn't talk about this, but he had a different subgroup at his high school, talk about a lot on the show. He was in the Mayans.
It's the Michael Mara Show. You can listen to the Michael Mara Show at
www.michaelmaraShow.com. Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Michael Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world,
Larry Kroger, all in favor.
We need the dues.
Larry Kroger is now pledged to Delta Tau Chi. Next slide, please, D-Day.
Founder.
Just settle down.
He's a legacy.
This is Ken Dorfman. He's a legacy from Harrisburg.
No, don't let him in.
Okay, this guy is a real zero. That's true. Just think back to when you guys were freshmen, huh? Boom. You had a face like a pepperoni pizza, right? And Stork here. Everybody thought the Stork was brain damaged. I myself was so obnoxious. The seniors used to beat me up once a week. So this guy is a total loser? Well, let me tell you the story of another loser.
Now, throw the beer cans at him.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at arms. Do your duty.
Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman, you've given this a lot of thought.
From now on, your name is Flounder.
Flounder.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
From our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., in the Podcast Village Studios, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Washington, D.C., where they might have just had a vote.
Yes.
I'm not sure. Check your ferns. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide radio show and podcast with loyal following of listeners who get it. If you're listening right now, you do too. Always ready to hear from you. We got Wide Open Wednesday. We got our mailbag all over the world. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. Rob, I'll do the spot, and then you can give us your bulletin. Does a low credit score prevent you from buying a new home? Do they teach you that here,
Brad?
Anyway, if you have a low credit score, don't worry. There's an answer. You need to talk to our friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial. Mark told us that if you don't have a credit score of 680 or higher, the big banks and the online companies might blow you off. No, no, no. Cornerstone can make it happen for you. With rise in interest rates, banks are making less money and loosening guidelines to compete much more aggressively. So even if you've been turned down before, you may qualify for a purchase or a refi, or you might even use the appreciation of your home as a virtual ATM with a credit score as low as 560. I can say with supreme confidence that if Cornerstone First can't do it, nobody can. Call Cornerstone First right now and watch them meet or beat any deal out there. They are the best, and they are Oscar Santana approved. Click their banner on our website, visit cornerstonefirst.com, or call them 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. Rob Spiewak was putting his finger up in the air because you've got a news update on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This just in from CNN. Considered up until now a swing Republican vote, Senator Jeff Flake will vote yes to confirm Supreme Court Justice Brett
He's
Kavanaugh.
In. He will go to the Supreme Court.
Confirmed.
I think Susan Collins and Susan Murkowski. Susan Collins and Murkowski
Lucci.
will probably go along with that.
Susan Lucci. That's right.
And there you have it. So that's it.
Why do we go through all that then?
New process? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to continue to follow this. And Jeff Flake's an interesting cat. You know, I think
what's his story?
He's leaving the Senate. He's been attacked by President Trump. He was a Republican. He is a Republican. He certainly is a Republican. And so that's the committee, by the way. That is the committee. They are saying that his vote on the committee would be reflective of how he will vote in the Senate.
The Senate vote is next week.
Senate vote could be tomorrow morning.
Oh wow.
They're going to put this
to
the
floor
tomorrow.
What's at stake for Flake then?
The Breakfast Flakes. You'd have to ask him that.
Hey, I'm a swing vote.
He's not going to be the only guy. He wouldn't be the only guy to do it. I don't think he's got that kind of situation
Flakes
in
cakes.
His head. So that's heavy duty political, and it's going to be weird. It's weird now. It's contentious now. We will see, and I'm done talking about it because there are more important things to discuss, like an unknown story that's underreported in America. You don't hear about this.
What's this?
And that is Wheel of Fortune.
Now, the game show?
36 years, Oscar, Wheel of Fortune has been on the air.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wheel of Fortune has been chugging right along. Pat and Vanna, and Pat with his different colors of blonde hair all the time.
And his curious hairline.
His very curious hairline. I tell you, his hair is fascinating.
It really is.
He's had hair. Pat Sajak, who has been, at one point, had a nighttime talk show. Did he not?
Yes, he did. He went up against Carson, did he not?
CBS show for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been watching on and off over decades Wheel of Fortune. And only recently, Mrs. O'Mara and I, when we're chilling out in the evening, we get tired of the cable news. How about popping on Wheel? How about popping on the Wheel? And I think I can say that I've watched enough of Wheel of Fortune to tell you, the listener, that the fix is it.
How can they fix it?
Well, let me see what I wrote down here. I just want to make sure I got my thoughts straight.
I had a friend's mom who went on Wheel of Fortune.
Really?
Who won $25,000.
You know, in November, Wheel is coming to Washington, D.C.
Okay, now you're already contradicting me again.
No.
He can't help himself but contradict me.
But 25 is nothing.
This was this is like in the 90s while I was in high school.
I think they hate winners. I think they hate winners. How many times do people
Does that go back to Merv?
No, I don't think Merv had anything to do with it. I think Merv raked it in no matter what.
Yeah.
But I think the wheel, how many times do you see it? First of all, they put that million dollars on the wheel.
Oh, no one ever wins the million.
No, you can't.
No one wins the million.
I've never seen
that. In order to win the million, you got to solve the most difficult puzzle in the world, and you have to spin to get the million. It's ridiculous. Not a chance they're giving that million
away. Knowing what I know about advertising dollars now as an adult,
yes,
the dollars they do give away outside of the million are not that much.
No, game shows are very cheap.
Yeah.
Because there's no
script. They're super cheap.
No script.
But Wheel,
no actors.
Let me tell you what they got with Wheel. You got a game that likes their contestants to lose. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. And you got a host who's all in. Pat Sajak is a co-conspirator, and he's perfectly cool with them losing.
I was only following orders. I was only following orders.
Where's your evidence, sir?
The evidence would be the other night, all right? The other night, there's a brand new puzzle they use. Thank you. All right, Jesus, turn that crap off.
You know, that song was written by Merv Griffin. It was called Changing Keys.
All right, there's his brain. He has to say it. He has to say it, or there'll be he'll have like a little bump on his head later in the day where the aneurysm takes hold, you know, where it's just like, he wrote it 50 minutes. My brain, gotta get it out. Gotta get it out. So anyway, Pat Sajak, getting back to Pat.
Yes.
I just think Pat... Pat feigns being folksy, but he really, I think he can't stand those people. I think he's just like, oh, here we go. Here's another
Do you think this is, is that the result of 35 years
grizzled.
Of them?
Yeah, I think he's curmudgeon-y. Well, hasn't he been online with curmudgeon-y comments, I think? He's an angry
guy. Yeah, I think he is. Now, I would like to present this. I don't think the games within the body of the show are fixed. I think that those, because you got three people.
I don't think they're fixed. No. I am not alleging any kind of dishonesty. I'm saying the degree of difficulty is where the fix is in.
Okay,
I agree. They make it impossible to win.
But,
and sometimes in the regular puzzles, they make it impossible.
The final puzzle is the one they can fix, and I can explain why. Because they have the thing where now, remember, you used to be able to choose your own five letters, right? Now they give you R, T, S, L, N, and a vowel. And then, so if you choose a
puzzle. And then every
puzzle
they have, R, T, S, L, N, they make every effort to make sure those letters aren't
of
in
course,
the puzzle.
It is
they're the hardest letters.
It is so easy to fix that final. Now, if they had you the ability to pick your own letters, and then there's a bit of chance involved, chances are you're still going to pick those common letters, but they actually, they're stacking the deck against
you. Could there be a way that those dollars are insured these days, that they pay a policy and whatever dollars were actually put out, they're insured by a second party?
You can insure anything, but I doubt they would.
You know, Mr. Jobs, really? I didn't do that kind of a deep dive on it. I didn't do the business school thing on it.
Subject matter,
so
context.
This is subjective. Let me give you an example, okay?
Okay,
I'll
give
just
an
give
example.
You an example of a regular puzzle.
Okay.
The crossword puzzle on Wheel of Fortune, which, Rob, maybe you know this, maybe you don't. I believe it's relatively new. I don't know this category.
The most recent one I know is called Before and After.
Yeah, before and after is ancient compared.
Okay.
Crossword puzzle is just like that. They give a crossword puzzle format, and then you connect words. And so you've got, so this one was blank cookie.
Mm.
All right.
Okay.
And so you've got all the different cookies up there. They've got oatmeal, chocolate chip or something like that.
Sugar.
And then there's a three letter with an I in the middle of the cookies, and none of them can get it. None of them can get it. None of them can get it. It's just ridiculous. And they finally say, oh, here it is. Fig cookie. Fig cookie?
Foul. Oh, that is a foul. Honey. That is a foul, 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 foul,
right.
Foul.
Now, Fig Newton is one thing,
yes.
But a fig cookie, there is no, you don't say fig cookie.
No.
I'm going to the supermarket to get fig cookie.
Fig cookie is
Pat.
False.
Yeah, and
yes.
Meanwhile, Pat is
crap.
Loving that no one got it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Now it was right there in front of you. Yeah, sorry about that, you
are
dumbass.
You watching,
that's what he wants to say.
Are you watching
you
the
incredible
used letter
dumbass.
Board?
Yeah.
Now, how did Vanna do?
Vanna, I saw her over the board going,
well,
because I think she's an animatronic dummy.
We can address this because we will have a phoner with Vanna in November.
Because we're getting Vanna White on the show?
Because she's coming
let
to town.
Let me take that back. She is not an animatronic dummy. She is a beautiful and talented. She's an icon.
She's amazing.
But she's an icon.
Oh, absolutely. She was an icon 20 years ago, and she's still at it.
You dishonest hump. You left me out to dry.
No.
We have meetings about guests on Tuesday, and you held that in. When did you get this information after my Wheel of Fortune round? You were waiting. You've been waiting. I wouldn't have done it. Let me just say, I love Wheel of Fortune.
I'm sorry. What's the bottom line? You still watch it every night. And that's the bottom line.
I love Wheel of Fortune. We're going to get Vanna on?
Yes. They're coming to D.C. I think they're shooting at Constitution Hall. And so they're going to do some episodes in town. Yeah.
Get her in the studio.
Maybe we'll get Pat and ask him why he hates giving away money.
Yeah, and what's up with that hair?
You have really, look at him. Look at how happy
he is on Friday. Like, look what I did
on Friday, he gives me a little.
Today.
How long have you been sitting on this one, Skippy?
Wednesday night, I got the email that they're going to work something out. So that's great.
Wednesday night. We will have Vanna White on in November. That's very, very exciting.
White.
Oh man, yeah. But anyway, it frustrates the hell out of me. I wish they'd give away more money. Sometimes I do. I've watched it now. I'm in a period of time where I'm watching it more than I have, and sometimes I get the puzzles. Carla's very good at the game, the fig cookie was.
Well, that's BS.
That would fire me up too.
I think at one point, and Oscar will like this because it really did happen. Yes. At one point, Carla may have gone, "Hey, calm down."
Fig cookie! If we go through...
Been a little squirrely lately anyway, as everybody will tell you.
If you go through the pantheon of game show hosts, you know, you don't get a lot of times, a lot of people don't think that Pat is a root against her. I think that Alex Trebek likes when people screw up on Jeopardy because it makes him look smarter. And also,
that's in the Greek islands. Thank you, Alex.
And also, people forget that towards the end, Bob Barker had a pretty short fuse with some contestants too.
And Did he really?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you'll be like, no, that's not how you play it. And, you know, it'd be a very complicated game, and he would not have the patience with them that he should.
Fathead, I would like to tell you that I've never, ever had a short fuse. Dorothy Joe,
that's your wife,
would tell you that occasionally I wouldn't like my eggs to be overdone.
Other than that,
I never had a short fuse. What do we have for Robbie? It's a new Corvette.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Robbie. All right, we got to take a break. We will take a break and more fun.
Vanna in November.
Yes, Vanna.
We have a culinary tip coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Very excited to tell you about it. And Oscar knows about it. I know about it. And we're going to tell you all about it when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show, because that's what we do. You better get
yourself together. Have you ever thought to yourself, I like my workplace, but it just isn't hostile enough? Well, boy, do we have the opportunity for you. The Mike O'Mara Show is looking for interns, and you could be what we're looking for. Afraid you might not pass a drug test? Don't worry, we hired Adrian. Do you think you don't have the personality or drive to be in radio? Well, Mac is still working here. And if you're worried about a criminal record, Dan O'Brien's shirts are so tight, they ought to be illegal. Any and all crayon-written resumes can be sent to rob@mikeomarashow.com. The Mike O'Mara Show Intern Program. It exists because college credits cost us nothing.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Northern California, are you renting? Don't be a rube. Now is the time to buy a home. Analysts predict that interest rates will rise by the end of the year, so right now is the best time to buy. Invest in your future and let Alexander Papp show you how. Alexander makes it easy, from finding your perfect home to writing an aggressive offer, working through the home inspections, and even finding you a great lender for your loan and pre-approval. Wake up and find your dream home. Alexander Papp is rated 5 out of 5. He's on Zillow, 5 out of 5. Trulia, 5 out of 5.
Right.
Realtor.com, 5 out of 5. People love this guy, and he's ready to answer any questions about the real estate process. He'll make it smooth and stress-free. Plus, he loves TMOS just like you. Stop looking at homes online and give Alex a call on his personal cell phone. 916-276-2129. That's 916-276-2129. And find your next home today. Alexander Papp is licensed in the entire state, but focuses exclusively on Northern California. From Wheatland to Rockland to Auburn to Sacramento and everywhere in between. So stop renting. Call Alex the NorCal Realtor today. 916-276-2129. BRE 019-860-31. Prado Real Estate. Buy a home and get a Rob Spiewak fruitcake, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, baby, do it.
So the vote has happened with the judge. He is going on to the Senate. Is that what they?
No, the vote has not happened.
They're saying
Jeff Flake will. Yeah. The leak is okay. Yeah. We'll wait, and it's fascinating to me. It's like I'm a junkie for this stuff. I pay attention to it. There is a new food product in the O'Mara household that I wanted to share with you. And then Oscar told me that in his household they've been making it for a very, very long time, and it is called mojo sauce.
But when you brought it up today, you used the Castilian pronunciation. You called it mojo sauce. Yes.
Mojo. Yeah. Remember Mojo Nixon when we used to have him
Mike
on the show.
Elvis is everywhere.
Elvis Mojo is in the morning.
I believe I have that.
Elvis is everywhere, a song by Mojo. He's in your underwear.
Yeah,
Mojo
it was
Nixon.
From 1986.
No, I've never heard of him.
I think, yeah. Oh, you'll like
you really have
Richard
that?
Nixon.
Yeah. Of course.
All right, we're going to hear Mojo Nixon
from his CD called Bodacious, I believe was the name of it.
Uh-huh. Mojo Nixon, ladies.
Mojo Nixon.
Give me one moment. Here
Mojo
we go.
Yeah.
All right. Mojo.
When I look out into your eyes out there, when I look out into your faces, you know what I see? I see a little bit of Elvis in each and every one of you out there. Let me tell you, well, Elvis is everywhere. Elvis is everything.
Elvis is everybody. I love this song.
Elvis is still the king.
Primitive MTV video as well.
I like the riff.
Yeah.
Elvis is everywhere, man. He's in everything.
Still know all the words.
He's in everybody.
Here we
Elvis
go.
Elvis is in your jeans. He's in your cheeseburgers. Elvis is in Nutty Buddies.
Nutty Buddies.
Elvis is in your mom. He's in everybody. He's in the young, the old, the fat, the skinny, the white, the black, the brown, and the blue. People got Elvis.
All right, that's
enough. Everybody out there.
Oh, you got to get the part about the sailing, Elvis.
Hey, is
okay. No, we don't. Thank you. Thank you very
is
much.
Is Elvis's yes. star fading?
It
I
is.
Feel like
he's aging out.
It's not even aging out. I feel like not.
Yeah, you might be right. It's not the same deal it used to be. We cruise right through August, right, with very little about it.
The problem is that the Graceland organization there.
Once Graceland fired Mark Riddell, it was over.
All downhill.
Are you saying that Mark took down Elvis?
Yeah, it was the magic of Riddell. He got there, and it's just like, well, we're not getting anybody going through the mansion anymore. No, I'm kidding. I love Mark Riddell. I love Mark Riddell. He's a good friend of the show.
The Death Day release this year was really sort of uninspiring, even for a big Elvis fan, they took Elvis's gospel music and reorchestrated it with a full orchestra. And that's not the way you market it. And it was just.
By the way, I'd like to go on record saying if they happen to hire back Mark Riddell, there is an outside chance that within 4 years we will go to Graceland and do a live show.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you very much.
There was a lot of ifs there, Mike.
No, that ship has sailed.
All they got to do is hire
him.
If I
never saw Memphis, Tennessee again and the Graceland, the whole thing, we got plenty of that when we were traveling down there. In August.
A beautiful city.
God, that was my favorite road trip of the year.
Well, that's
Yay,
why
we're going to Memphis again. Yeah.
That's why Elvis died. It was more pleasant than being in Memphis in August.
It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun.
Is that
at all.
Why you guys filmed the commercial down there? Your television commercial?
No. The commercial in Nashville was filmed because that's where they did them. That's where they did them for New York. That's where they did them for everywhere.
Nashville and Memphis are really far apart.
Oh, they
you,
are?
You flew to Nashville, and I don't know if the business is still there. You should look it up. Film House was the name of the production company that did these TV commercials for radio stations. That was their bread and butter. They did TV commercials for radio stations that involved, and I think they were involved in the whole promotion and the way we marketed it on television and all that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they have like a sort of set commercial that they would do market exclusive? Like you had one that would air in D.C., but then there'd be a similar commercial, San Francisco, Denver, Florida.
Perfect.
I think that's how it worked. And we called it Food House, as I mentioned yesterday, because the catering.
They fed the DJs.
Mike, constant. It is open. 810 Dominican Drive, Nashville, Tennessee. They're open right now. They close at 5:30 p.m. tonight.
You know, we should ask him how much it costs to do a commercial.
To do a commercial.
Want to call
a
him?
TV commercial. Let's call. Yeah, call him up. Call him up.
Tony, I'm going to send you a phone number, okay?
Just to know. Exciting. It'd be nice to hear a number.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is very, very exciting.
Can I give you a range?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Okay, and for a television commercial, let's call it 30 to 60
seconds.
How much
for a cough drop?
For a cough drop included. I'm going to say north of $50,000.
I'd say that's...
I was going to say 25 grand.
I was going to say 100. I think 100.
100 grand?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Film House was a special place, and it was the first time I ever had the pleasure of working with a chimpanzee.
Because, and, Mike, this is what I have to account for.
I even remember the chimpanzee's name.
What was it?
Dina.
Oh, it was a lady.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we call asking about Dina if she's still around? Chimpanzees live forever.
I'm not sure that Film House actually handled the chimps.
I'm sure they have a link to the chimp.
You want me to call? Is that why you texted me the
number?
No,
I send it to everybody, but Pony's dialing
Pony's
it right
gonna
now.
Pony's going to dial.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Put them up. Get them up so we can hear the ring.
A billboard in D.C. is roughly $20,000 for a month, if you're lucky.
And that doesn't have a chimp.
A
good chimp.
How much
billboard?
Is a billboard for a month
$20,000 in D.C.? $20,000 for the outskirts of D.C.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like that one in Manassas?
Yeah.
Remember there was always
we're
a building?
Calling Film House right now. The Film House Television Production Company.
It's actually, it says it's a movie studio. That's how they're listed
movies.
On the
really?
Web.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe they've branched out. Do we have them up?
Are we ringing,
is the volume
Bonnie?
Up?
They're ringing.
Do you have the volume up, Rob?
I do.
I don't see the phone up on there. Oh.
Oh, that's busy.
There you go. Oh, no ring, just
straight
busy.
To busy. Well,
did he not press the button? Is that
no, it didn't ring. It went straight to busy. Is that, are you sure that's the number? Can you double check that number, please?
I shall indeed.
Just trying to call somebody. I want to be able to call from out.
You
out
can
from
call
down
from
here.
You can call from there. You can.
Can I call from my machine?
Yeah,
here?
You can call from your machine.
Mm-hmm. Right,
it's just gonna take you some time. It's not very user friendly.
Okay. I'm clicking on it.
Clicking on the button, we have to pull up a line and then click on the dial. So we'll actually hear you dial.
I don't want an update. I don't want, you've made me late already.
Made me late enough already.
Sideways.
I can't
now,
click on
Dina
it.
Now, Dina the clown.
No, it was not a clown, it was a monkey.
Dina the monkey.
Drop, hold ready,
why don't you call,
set as new.
Why don't you call right off your phone?
Just click that next. Green arrow.
Yeah, green arrow.
Oh, to do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
See, it's, it's not very easy.
This is fun. This is like a little experiment. And let me see if I can read the text that I got. No, that's not possible.
I thought you were getting
a
new phone on the way.
New phone
on the
way.
It's
going to
be here today. It says
way.
It's going to be here today. Hold on.
I've been looking into the Max. I can't upgrade my lease until November. So I'm going to wait till
a Thanksgiving miracle.
A few more things fall into place.
Excited now. This is
look. Here we go.
This is a new toy.
How can I help you?
Yes, this is Mike O'Mara from the Mike O'Mara Show, and a very, very long time ago, by the way, you're on the air, and I just wanted to ask you a question. A very long time ago, my partner Don Geronimo and I came to your fine studios and did a TV commercial with a chimpanzee. I wanted to make sure that this was the same place. We were taking a walk down memory lane, and I wanted to know if this was the same Film House that did the radio commercials
ask
back in
Dina.
The 80s and 90s.
It is.
That's exciting. That's exciting to me. Yeah, you know what? We had a nickname. I don't know if you guys had a nickname, or does anybody still refer to it as Food House because you catered so much wonderful food when we were doing our shoot? Do you remember?
I don't, but I'm sure it is referred to that because they still do the same thing.
That is so fascinating. And do you still do like radio station commercials?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting.
That's
Rob,
great.
You had a question
that
you wanted to ask?
Is anything shooting today, ma'am?
Not today. It's going to be next week.
I see. What's shooting next week?
Excuse me?
What is shooting next week?
I'm not quite sure, but I know they have a shoot on Tuesday.
If you don't have to do this, but you might have somebody there, because we were just kind of curious, because we do a podcast now since CBS kicked my show to the curb years ago and summarily dismissed me, for cause. I have to say that I have a question for you. Could we find out how much it would cost to do a television commercial for our podcast?
Just a
nationwide TV commercial. Like just a 30-second spot. Is there somebody we could talk to for that?
Yes, let me transfer you to Andy. He can kind of give you more heads up on that.
Is Andy a fun guy? Is he a lighthearted guy? Does he get the spirit of doing a radio show and all that good stuff?
Well, Andy does, but Andy is not the one that really do the commercials.
He's not the creative.
I understand. That's okay. We'll talk to Andy. We'll talk to Andy. Just tell him we're doing the show right now, all right? Thank you.
Okay.
You've been very nice. What's your first name, darling?
Lois,
thank you. What is it?
It's Lillian.
Lillian. Okay. Thank you very much, Karen. We appreciate it.
Okay, hold on.
Yay for Lillian.
That's Lisa.
And she's going to connect us, Mike, to Andy Rice.
Lillian. That's what I said. What?
She's connecting us to Andy Rice.
Very good. Very exciting.
I love calling. I made this call on my own.
You did a great job. This is so cool.
This is a totally new thing for the show. This is a new era in the show. You're not going to be able to control me. I'm going to have a phone call of the day. This is special. God, we're running out of time, though. Come on, Andy.
Hold on.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Lillian.
Lillian. Can you ask about Dina, the monkey?
You got to ask about the chimps.
Yeah, but I don't think they'll know.
Or the morning zoo guys. Come on.
Don hated the fact that the trainer wasn't nice to the monkey.
Andy Cohen, can I help you?
Andy, Mike O'Mara, Andy Cohen, not the guy from Bravo.
Love your show.
All right. Thank you.
How often do you get that? You get that a lot, right?
It's kind of funny. I've got a girl here working in the building that worked on Housewives of Atlanta. And so she worked for Andy Cohen. She came up here and she says, "Your name's what?" Well, I can't forget your name.
Did she like the experience? Does she speak highly of the other Andy Cohen?
She really didn't say. I mean, I said I've got to get my picture made with him, and so I just said, I don't know. She's the head producer for Chrisley Knows Best in town.
Oh, I love that show. I love that show. Chrisley Knows Best. Yes.
Andy, let me tell you why I'm calling. We're doing our little podcast here, our little nationwide podcast. Back in the day, I did a show called The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara out of D.C. We flew down to your fine city and went to your fine company and made a little bunch of TV commercials for our morning show back in the day.
Right.
And had a fantastic time doing that. And we were walking down memory lane. I said, remember, we referred to it as Food House because they had so much food coming in catered. We were there all day and they had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was spectacular. We had a great, I worked with a chimp. Do you still bring chimpanzees in there? They don't do that anymore, right? They don't
you
have
know, the radio industry is falling on some tough times. So there's not many radio clients out there.
Right.
We worked with, the most famous one we worked with was Bubbles, was Michael Jackson.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, really? Way back back in the day. The one we worked with, I don't remember college roommates I've had, but I remember the chimp's name was Dina. Dina was the chimp's name. You remember Dina?
I remember Dina.
Wow.
See? That's awesome.
Here's a story for you. We used to have lunch out in the atrium. And Dina would sit at the table, and eat with us.
And Dina went nuts when the food came in.
I just remember that the teeth on the monkey was just like, ugh, really?
That is awesome. Well, Andy, we're not going to take too much of your time here. I was just curious, with our little little engine that's still up here out of Washington, D.C., we're kind of curious if we wanted to knock out like a little nationwide spot, a little 30-second job for the Mike O'Mara show. Could you give us just a ballpark of what
realistic
that might
figures,
set us
realistic,
back? Realistic figure, because we can tell you yes or no based on the
no
broad
chimps.
Strokes here.
No chimps. It really depends on creative. I'm in the accounting department. I'm not in the marketing. I could take your name and have like Kurt call you or Dave
Conley
call you back.
That'd be great.
Have Kurt call us and maybe we'll do a nationwide TV. Under 50, over 50, under 25, we have no idea. It's been so long. And the company did it back in the day. I didn't do it personally.
Right.
Now we're running our own little operation. You got any clue on that at all? Or, what are we talking about?
It just depends on creative.
Yeah, okay. What you want there. Do you want a monster truck, I imagine? Do you want a camel?
Depending on what you want.
Yeah.
Want
green screen.
Okay. Andy's not going to give it up, and that's why he's a pro, and he's been doing it a long time. Andy Cohen, thank you for taking this trip down memory lane on the Mike O'Mara Show. Go listen to us at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Oh, but he can
write
Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Absolutely.
Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com, and break it
how
down
you
for us.
Last name, how you spell that?
MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Got it.
All right.
Andy Cohen, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend, my friend.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Take care.
Dina ate at the table.
When the trainer got mad at Dina is when Dina went nuts when they brought the carts in with the food on it.
Mm-hmm.
The food house.
And is that before or after?
What a career.
Dina grabbed you down there.
No, Dina didn't grab me down there. The trainer grabbed Dina down there, and that's what pissed Don off.
Oh, no.
Meanwhile, Dina was grabbing my Adam's apple every time I said, your chance to win $10,000. And I'm going, by the end of the shoot, we did like four takes on it. And at one point I went, your chance to win 10. Jesus Christ, Dina. And then you realize later that, you know, these animals can rip human beings' faces off. Yeah.
Charlotte Nash. Yeah,
that Rob will play tapes of forever. Don't play it. Do not play it again.
Not today. Not today, Mike.
So brave.
But she is very brave. And Mike, you were brave.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Roll it.
Do it. Yeah. Oh, please.
5,000 subscribers. The Mike O'Mara Show channel on YouTube is now 5,000 strong, and it's all because of you. If you aren't a subscriber, what are you waiting for? Go to the Mike O'Mara Show channel now on YouTube, tap that bell, and you'll get alerts when a new show is posted. You can even watch it live, weekdays with the other P1s, and comment on the fun. On-demand comedy from the TMOS YouTube channel. 5,000 strong, marching towards 10,000.
God bless you all. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Oh, man, it's exploding. Everybody's talking about the Uni.
Everybody loves
pizza. Men love fire. It's the Uni Pizza Oven, the world's first portable wood-fired pizza oven. Wood fire and lots of other things. You can make authentic Neapolitan-style pizza in just 60 seconds with the Uni. The secret is the heat. Uni heats to 932 degrees, and the gauntlet has been thrown down. Mrs. O'Mara is challenging Rob Spiewak to an Uni pizza challenge this weekend.
And you know what? To even the playing field, I will use gas as you use gas, because I don't want to have the unfair advantage of wood fire. So okay. I will convert my Uni to gas v. gas, ingredient v. ingredient. The gauntlet has been thrown. Carla, get ready to taste the savory, crispy deliciousness of defeat.
Here's how we're going to do it. Rob's going to make a pizza sometime this weekend. Carla's going to make a pizza sometime this weekend. They're going to take pictures of their pizzas, the process, whatever.
And the whole process.
The pictures, the photographs are going to be one Facebook post. That's the way it's going to work.
Yeah, but we can put multiple pictures in the post.
You can put multiple pictures up, but the Facebook post that gets the most likes will win the Uni Challenge this weekend. And we will both be using our Uni Pros.
Yes.
And good luck to you. I know you've got quite a presence with the mob on there.
Yes.
You make your own sauce. Whatever the description, you want to do it in your underwear. I don't care what you do. Whatever happens, I will make sure that Carla gets a pizza picture put up.
You know what? Judging about how this is going to be graded, I would request that nobody cook in their underwear, because that would give Carla an advantage.
Thank you very much. That's fine. For a limited time, Uni is giving our listeners 20% off their purchase. Go to uni.com. That's OONI.com and enter our code TMOS to check out. This is an amazing gift.
The best.
For the holiday season as well. That's OONI.com. Code TMOS to get your Uni 3 or Uni Pro with 20% off. They haven't done this before. Take advantage now. Offer good till November 18th. And the Uni Challenge this weekend. It's the best pizza I've ever had in the house. It's absolutely amazing.
You didn't mention it's so it cooks cool. You cook each pizza 60 seconds. Mm.
60 seconds.
That's all it takes.
And you're going to love it. And I look forward seriously to hearing how you like the gas attachment,
because
I love mine.
Might
I haven't
be tonight.
Used anything else.
Might
that's,
be tonight.
That's special. All right, we're out of time. Where the hell are we in the show right now?
Well, Andy Cohn runs his mouth.
I know.
Blabbermouth.
He wouldn't give it up. That was that was scary that he didn't do that.
Well, look, I've said this before. It's irresponsible to comment without full context of your project.
But, you know, that's my middle name. That's why they call me Mike I. O'Mara.
Yeah, irresponsible.
The I is for irresponsible. I handled the opening okay, though, didn't I?
Yes. After we fought about it at the beginning of the show, I think everything went well.
I think I did a fantastic job.
But that's the reason Cohen is there after 30 years, because he, he just glad-handed.
Loose lips sink ships, Mike.
That's right.
Let me say this. Before we break, can I just ask the listeners to pray for me this weekend?
Pray for you?
More than normal?
Yeah. I've got a dilemma here. I think my wife may be trying to kill me.
What's wrong?
Oh, no.
We have a new business that opened up, and I mean I could walk to it. I mean it's right across the street. I mean you could throw a rock at this place, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's not a business that's good for my situation here. And my wife brought me a product from this business today. And all right, I'll get right to it. It's a donut shop.
Wow. When? A walking distance donut shop?
Oh, and a homemade sign, a mom and pop. It looks like nothing from the street. And I went in, and they didn't have any regular donuts. They had all the foo-foo, like Heath Bar, peanut sure. butter. I'm like, okay, well, and they were kind of cake donuts. I'm like, well, this is not my place. I'll be fine. And then today, from across the street, she brings, they had the honey crullers, the French crullers.
That's a pastry we in the business, Mike, like to call a glazed and raised.
Oh, they were fantastic.
What are they called?
Raised and glazed.
No, what are they, what's the store that's called?
Does the store have a name? Does mom and pop?
Yeah, Nuts for Donuts or something like Nuts for Donuts, I think that's the name.
So that's how you pay for it?
Let me look it up. I just want to look it up.
She brings regular glaze, the French cruller, the, ooh, you know, the honey cruller, yeah, mm-hmm. and then she brought what may be the best blueberry jelly donut I've ever tasted in my life. Yeah.
Wow. Did you get the feeling that the blueberry filling
I'm
was
Orson Welles. I am flipping Orson Welles.
Did you get the impression that the blueberry filling was homemade, or was it out of
yeah, I did, as a matter of fact. And you know how I like the blueberries.
You do. You're a blueberry guy.
I love blueberries.
It's a superfood, Mike. The more of those donuts you eat, the healthier you'll be.
Mike, wear black on stage in Vegas, please.
Unless you're eating powdered donuts.
I'm planning on it. I will be. What I will be doing. You know what? You know what I'm going to be. I'm sorry we're up on a break here, but yes. I will be a fat Eddie Rabbit when we go on stage. It's exactly what I will be. Don't worry. You're going to see me in a fat black shirt with black jeans. That's me. And fat man. Maybe black boots as well, like I used to dress. And maybe I'll wear a black hat.
Mike, when Eddie Rabbit was with us, and he wore his all black outfit. The secret of the jeans was control top.
Control top panties. Yeah. I'll do it all.
Driver's cap.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, absolutely. I look like Dom DeLuise with a blueberry donut. We'll take a break. Come back with Oscar's take right here on the Mike O'Malley
Oscar's
show.
Take.
Laptop. Carry your own bucket.
Remix.
CPU. Bootstrap. Get the paddles. Move the meter.
I'm in the ding dongs. Yo, Oscar, you're gonna get away soon. Gonna get away soon. Gonna get away.
I'll have to circle back with you.
Wow.
What's the ROI? It'll be amazing.
That's my favorite new ridiculous promo. Thank
you very
much.
I'm not sure what it promotes.
I don't know either. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. If you're headed to Las Vegas for TMOS Live, we have added an extra special treat to make the weekend even more special, and people are getting excited about this. It's Back to the 80s, a hilarious 1980s themed mystery involving a high school reunion, a 30-year-old time capsule, and murder. Justin Slagle from 98 Rock, he's the headliner for this, and more broadcastings. Rob and Joe are also involved, and the three amigos, Rob, Mike, and Oscar, also in the show. But the real star is you. Select audience members get to play parts in the show, and everyone gets to guess who the murderer is. Pick up your tickets this weekend. It's Saturday, November 3rd at 7 p.m. in the Zappos Council Chambers Theater. For tickets, click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Back to the 80s. Drink, laugh, solve a murder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again for Oscar's Take.
A review and comment on the news is only our Bolivian Bloviator can do it. The views expressed by Oscar Santana do not in any way reflect the views of the Mike O'Mara Show, Todd Moore, the listeners, or the right-thinking people of the...
Yeah, I'm obsessed with him. And the right-thinking people of the United States. And now, without further ado... Oscar's Take.
Hey, man, Oscar's Take.
Oscar, according to a new survey, the average man spends a total of 7 hours a year hiding in the bathroom. The main reasons are for some quiet time, to get away from their partner nagging them, to get a break from their kids, to avoid their chores, or to use their phone. The survey also found that about 10% of bathroom trips at home are interrupted by someone barging in. Unfortunately, the survey didn't ask women how often they hide out in the bathroom, but I welcome your take on this, Oscar.
Guys, I'm actually going to give you a different take when it comes to restrooms. Restrooms are meant for hiding. Yes, I've had friends that are fathers that say the only time I get a peaceful moment is when I hide in the bathroom.
That's what I do.
I've had colleagues that say the only reason they go to the bathroom for a very long time is to hide from their spouses, as you mentioned. What I don't see enough of is executives and offices having private one-stall bathrooms where you can go in there and hide from your coworkers.
Sure.
We need more of that in America. This open concept office situation is becoming a situation of disrepair where people can't just hide in their offices. So now they have to go to the restroom and hide in a stall.
How would you rate the facility outside of Podcast Village? I've always found that to be a very private bathroom.
It's pleasant because you can lock the front door.
Yeah, but it's actually two layers of locking.
Yes.
Too.
But it's also popular, right? It's too popular, maybe?
Well, it's Grand Central. There are four floors of restrooms. You can decide which one you want to go to.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right.
That's I can see why it's Grand Central, and we've made this assumption before, where women and men both just need to get away for a moment. The only problem is most people are emailing while they're in there, hiding from their coworkers, taking care of their personal business. So if somebody locks the door as soon as you're about to walk to the bathroom, you got to wait a solid 20.
Yeah.
You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar, here are the 10 most common times we feel like we can't say what we really think. Never been a problem for you with me. Number 10, when someone at work asks you to do something unreasonable.
Oh, that's BS. If you're a man or you're a woman with a little hair down there, you can be A-okay.
Number 9, when there's a baby.
I think just based on that.
When there's a baby around that won't stop crying.
Maybe.
I won't give them all. I'll give them all to you at once. When you get a bad cup of coffee, when your significant other is critical of something you say, when customer service keeps you on hold for a long time. I never have a problem holding. I let them know. When there's something wrong with your food at a restaurant, biggie. Yes. When someone shows you a photo of their baby. When your significant other asks how they look. When a friend asks if you like their outfit. And when you have to tell someone what you think of their cooking. How do you rate on not being able to say what you really
think? In the world of political correctness, all of these get the old buzzer except for the food. When you tell someone your food is bad and they're handling your food, first rule that we all learned from the movie Waiting is you don't send it back because you're going to get one of those crispy hairs in your salad when it comes back, right? The rest of them are to each your own. Decide if you want to be confrontational about it. Tell your wife she needs to, or her husband they need to lose 10. That my wife was very honest with me 2 days ago when I threw on a dress shirt that doesn't fit me anymore. She said, maybe it's time to go size up. And I said, well, maybe it's time for me to work at the gym more and work less at work to pay for this mortgage.
Thank you. You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar, you're a wallet guy. You've given me hard times about my wallet for years, and I've actually gone to the skinnier wallet because of you. Here are 6 things you should never keep in your wallet or purse. I'll give you all 6.
Please.
And then you can comment on this. A list of your passwords. I am. Shut up. I'm just trying to feed
Honey
the family.
Honey
baked
ham card?
Well, if it's sliced thin.
Oh, okay.
Ham in the wallet. What do you do?
Let's go to Rob's
Steak.
Rob's Steak. Rob's Steak.
Actually, you played the wrong sound effect. This is Rob's Steak.
Okay.
There we go. Thank you very much.
Honey, bring me some mayonnaise.
Things you should never keep in your wallet. I am. Jesus. He's thrown the show off the rails.
I'm sorry.
A list of your passwords. Identifying documents like your Social Security card or your password. This isn't as funny as what he said. None of it will be. Your debit card or a bunch of cash. Ham. No. Gift cards. It can be nearly impossible to get the balance back if they're lost. Membership and loyalty cards and old receipts. What's your
theory? Why wouldn't you have your debit
stuff in your wallet?
Your debit card. You need your debit card.
Yeah.
Why would you have your debit card and cash? And how do you get cash without the debit card?
Hey, you know what? How about this? Don't lose your wallet.
Well, look. I think I thought we were going to be closer to the days of just your phone and then Apple Pay doing everything you need to do, or Visa Pay or whatever, where you just pay with your phone. The only people that have gotten this right
Mine works good.
Is Starbucks.
If I ever use cash or stand in line at Starbucks,
yeah.
I feel like an alien. And then I judge everyone that's in line. I said, you rubes, you all have smartphones. Why don't you order ahead?
Yes.
A little efficiency in your life.
I like you. When Oscar orders and doesn't pick it up.
Sometimes I forget.
you're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Ham.
Finally, Oscar, YouPorn, the porn site you visit when Pornhub is performing site maintenance, is this week launching a content suggestion engine called For You Weekly that might just keep you on the site longer. Longer.
Hey, buddy.
Hey. Hey. Anything you do on the website is okay with me. Or at least visiting more often with some regularity. Like many machine learning-based suggestion engines before it, the YouPorn feature will offer a weekly personalized playlist based on the user's personal video view history. Sounds hinky to me. This feature comes on the back of a handful of site updates, including new categories, video tagging, and additional filters. The efficiency and overall accuracy of search has been improved, which is always important when you're digging for your daily adult entertainment fix in the form of explicit video. Oscar Santana.
Mike, just a matter of time before this hit the mainstream. I've been a premium connoisseur of such websites that offer what I call the Spotify playlist for your crotch. And
crotchifies. Geez.
And in my eyes,
so gross.
If you throw up in your mouth, you should. In my eyes, they don't get it right. Because you could, just like on Spotify, you could play the wrong tune and all of a sudden you get a lot of jazz. Sometimes you click on things that aren't what they seem. And
by the way,
he said
jazz, Mike.
And then you get a lot of that.
With an A.
You know what I mean?
Oscar said jazz.
Yeah, boy.
All right. Fantastic. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, so when you click on a few things, you're like, she's not all she.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Then, you know, and then now you get that in your playlist, and you get it turns a whole different ballgame.
So you're not for it. You're against this feature that they're doing here to help you?
You're very careful about what you click on, because sometimes a screenshot doesn't look like what it is.
Yeah,
it can mess
okay.
up. It's like somebody using your Netflix account, and then you get all chick flicks.
All right.
But in this count, depending on your sex, you get all dick flicks.
I agree.
Can't say that.
I agree. That? Thank you. That's Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. That's always nice to end on porn, isn't it? We will take a break, ladies and gentlemen, and come back with the final audio vault of the week. You are listening to Filmhouse's favorite, The Mike O'Mara Show, soon to have a brand new $100,000 television commercial for the Super Bowl. We'll be right back.
Informed. Intelligence. Irreverence. Political Persuasion.
Hey, it's Chris Wrights with Political Persuasions. This week, Mike and I preview the Kavanaugh Ford testimony. Is President Trump a global laughingstock? Plus, your letters, we got a lot of them, and we're going to read them. Tune in.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Well, we just experienced the equinox. Yes, it's that time of year. You see, the September equinox is the moment when the sun appears to cross the celestial equator, heading southward. Wonderful. Please note, due to differences between the calendar year and the tropical year, the September equinox can occur at any time from the 21st to the 24th day of September.
This is true.
That's fascinating, but all I know is this. It's autumn, bitches! And if you don't have your TMOS bonus subscription, you are seven times the son of a whore. I might have to assault you with a stale hot dog bun, you pissant. So, what's stopping you, Mademoiselle Stinky Whore? That's two whores in one promo. Isn't it time that you sign up for the TMOS bonus show? Remember, the future of our show depends on it. Besides, you don't know what you're missing. It's the most fun we have each week, and it still has that yummy flavor that screams, colorful, decorative squash! Just go to MikeOmaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. So please buy it or choke on your apple butter. And thank you. Oscar Santana, you have an update or something?
Yeah, I texted you, gentlemen, because as I'm going through looking for information on the Kavanaugh vote,
yeah,
I clicked on my Facebook notification, because I get notifications all the time, I just don't click on them. And Adrian Garcia weighed in on what's going on in D.C. on Capitol Hill as we speak. And
yeah, I saw this post yesterday.
For some reason, this kid
of all kids, should not be weighing in on this, but does.
Let me quote. Let me give the quote for you, okay? This is from Adrian Garcia.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about Judge Kavanaugh the way I feel when a guest calls to move their reservation to a later date, a day before their check-in, because I know they're just trying to avoid any cancellation fees for canceling past the deadline. I don't hate on anyone who's smart enough to play the system, and that's what Brett did. Was he childish? Yes. Was he a dick? Oh, yeah. But at the end of the day, Brett only cares about how Trump believes he did. And Brett didn't play the cards he was dealt with today. He played the player. And apparently Trump wishes more Republicans behave that way. Brett did in defending himself. Thank you, Adrian. The very opinionated Adrian Garcia.
I think that it would only be fitting if you followed it up with what Trip Affleck wrote under it. His comment. But I think it's very.
I don't know if he has it. I just sent him a screenshot.
The screenshot.
But he follows up with "Don't hate the game, hate the player."
That's right. Well, so after he says,
"Don't hate the player, hate the game."
Okay, and Tripp says,
"This is the dumbest thing I've read all day."
Well, this is a nice palate cleanser.
I think it's a day. I chopped me off before that. So.
I think you're right.
But this is how huge a story is. And Mike said this before the show. He said this is a space shuttle moment.
Yeah, it really cuts through all the pot smoke.
Right?
Yeah, and it'll continue through the weekend, I think, because I think they're going to vote today on sending him up to the Senate, and we'll see what happens.
I think we've come up with a solid concept, though, for Diego. If he could somehow take what he wrote here, good or bad, right?
It's like the Spicoli analysis that I mentioned before the show, you know?
Yes!
They're bogus, right, exactly. Too.
Man, let me turn off some of my devices here, because I can't even see you guys right now.
turn off a device.
I'm going crazy right now.
Those O-rings weren't made out of a polyurethane. That's why the shuttle blew up.
Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
Those O-rings.
Trump hates the game. There you go.
I turned him into Joe Ardinger for some reason.
You know, a lot of common ground there.
Yes, there are. He loves the power wash.
What's the common thread?
Let's
very
draw
good.
A Venn diagram, and there's a all lot right. of overlap.
Oh, let me open this.
Please.
Here we go. Audio vault for Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
911 call of the week, eligible for call of the month. Oh. I like this. Not an emergency. I don't say do this. Don't call 911 if you're having trouble with your math homework.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
Hi. Yeah, this is an emergency, but I'm 10 years old and I'm working on my math homework right now, and I can't figure out what 71 divided by 3,052 is.
Are you working on decimals or?
I'm working on division.
Okay. So it's are you sure it's 71 divided by that, or is it 3,052 divided by 71?
It's 3,052 divided by 71.
Okay. One second.
Good guy. Just,
doing it on a calculator, it's 42.98, which you would round up to like 43.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Is that all you needed?
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you go.
Say bye.
Bye.
Isn't that
I
great?
Love how straight that guy was.
I love
that was so sweet. That was good. I love the guy at the call center.
So
that's
nice.
Very, very cool.
I would have asked for parents, yelled at the parents.
Yeah, that's
at the kids.
It was not at all like I'm that show 911 that was on Fox this week with Jennifer Love Hewitt handling the earthquake trouble. She was not like that. By
how
the way,
was your JLH looking
She's you
she's
know
a
what?
Big font, big font, Mike. Bold.
I've been a fan of her for a long time, which means she's getting older.
She was she was Helvetica, life. Now she's Impact.
By the way, the latest clickbait your boy went through on Yahoo, which really more every week that goes by, there's nothing you click on Yahoo now that's not a 3-hour clickbait.
Sure.
I mean, I stopped probably at 30 when I got to the Women of Tiger.
Oh, the Women of Tiger.
The Women of Tiger.
Yeah, that would be a good show on Fox,
100
too.
Plus. I've done that run. It takes a while.
It was fun. It was fun.
I absolutely. Think you'll agree with me that the worst part of Jeopardy is the small talk with the contestants after the first commercial break.
But I do it. I love it. I love to watch it, but it is the worst part.
Last night, something kind of special happened. I've never seen this go down.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, normally when I interview the contestants, I base my conversation on little bits of information they have supplied us. But with regard to Michael Pascuzzi from Orlando, Florida, I have absolutely nothing on the card. So what do you want? To talk
I can
about.
Fill in for you.
Okay.
I just wanted to say one quick thing and ask Maria Schaefer right there.
Who is Maria? Where is she? Oh, hello, Maria.
If she would make me a winner today and marry me.
Oh!
Whoa.
On Jeopardy.
Off screen me?
Yes. Of course.
Maria, you responded too quickly. I was about to say we'll have the answer to that question right after this commercial break.
That would be what is yes?
What is yes?
What is yes? Did she say that?
Yeah, she did. And I think because based on the taping schedule, that was probably taped before the Oscar proposal. Not Oscar here, but the one on the Academy Awards.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's okay. You know what? Jeopardy counts. Yeah. You'll have it on video posterity. It's fantastic. I think that's
that was big win. Paul McCartney has been doing a lot of stuff to promote his new album, which is called Egypt Station. And unabashedly, I'll tell you this: it's his best album in years. It's really good. But
what is his best, really?
His best album, Band on the Run, far and away. That's almost Beatles.
Band on the Run.
I thought that was an Eagles song. Man.
No. No,
oh, you know, he makes me feel tired.
I'm moving down
all
the
over.
Road, trying to loosen my load. I got seven women on my mind. You're thinking, take it easy.
Yes.
You're thinking,
take it easy. Same
take
song.
It easy.
Same riff.
Yeah, it's the same
Band
riff.
Band on the Run. Yeah. Take it easy. Same key, Rob, right?
I'd have to hear them back to back.
You could maybe do one of those things.
I'll do a thing.
Band on
I'll do
the
a thing.
Run.
Last
take
action
it
suit.
Easy.
Oh, I hope Paul can afford it. An interesting question they asked about this is whether or not he and John Lennon were competitive when they wrote songs in the Beatles. I always knew they were. But what he reveals here is the one song that John Lennon said was a good song, because they didn't hand out praise a lot. He reveals the one
McCartney song
Lennon said was a good song. He reveals it here.
If he'd have written Strawberry Fields, I would write Penny Lane. You know, he's remembering his old area in Liverpool, so I'll remember mine.
Mm-hmm. And when that happened, did you compliment each other?
Once.
One
John
time?
John gave me a compliment.
In how many years?
What's going on? No, I think it's Revolver. But Here, There and Everywhere was one of my songs on it. And but John sort of, just when it finishes, that's a really good song, that. I love that song. And I was like, yes, he likes it. You know, I've remembered it to this day. It's pathetic, really.
Did you ever heap praise on him?
Yeah, I would tell him his stuff was great. Mm. You'd normally have to be a little bit drunk.
But yeah, I thought that was really cool. And that's over 50 years ago, he's hanging on to that one compliment on this song.
Wow.
That's the song?
Yeah, it's from Revolver.
Look, I know there are people, especially younger people nowadays, that might not track with it, but my God Almighty. I mean, their body of work, their melodies are, it's just, I don't know how they did it. It really, it's that body of work. There's so much great music. It really is.
My mom is addicted to the Beatles station on Sirius XM, and they play the new stuff with the old stuff. And she says she's listening to the new Paul album. She says, you know, you're lucky you've seen him in concert as much as you have. I said, why? She says, because, you know, he's kind of like Mozart. And if you think about it, to have a career spanning as many years as he has, once he's gone, who's going to replace him? I don't see anyone in the near future.
I agree, Rob Spiewak, and I'm not going to give you a hard time
about
it. Don't forget the Monkees. They did good work, too.
They sang Take It Easy.
Thank you for the balance, Oscar. That's perfect. That's perfect.
Close with this.
Jesus.
Let us close with this.
I didn't need to show up today.
Based on the hearing yesterday, I didn't even know this was going down. Did you know that Murphy Brown came back last night?
Yeah, they had Hillary on, and they did well with it. It was funny.
So let's close with that Hillary scene, because I think a lot of people, after the day of the hearings, probably miss Murphy Brown.
Can I just say this before that? It's video. It's great. I'm sure it's okay audio, but the video, the way they did it, where she gets onto an elevator and it closes at the end, was really, really well done. They did it well. And you know, I'm not a Murphy Brown fan. I didn't like that show all that much. But this, you know, this is taking advantage of somebody that's great on the show. It was funny.
Just so you know, there was a running joke even on the old Murphy Brown that she couldn't keep a secretary because she was so hard to work with. So Hillary comes in to interview for the secretarial position, and she says her name is Hillary Clinton, but not that Hillary Clinton. Hillary with one L. Just, you know, Hillary Clinton.
Hello. I'm here to interview for the secretarial position.
Hillary?
Yes, Hillary. Yeah. Hillary Clinton.
My God, you look just like...
I know, Hillary Clinton. I get that a lot, but my name's spelled with one L.
Well, okay, Hillary, with one L, please sit down. I guess you've heard this is a pretty demanding job.
I have. Your reputation precedes you, but I want you to know I'm not afraid of hard work. I'm qualified and ready on day one.
And I also assume you've had previous secretarial experience?
Absolutely. For 4 years, I was the secretary. I was the secretary of a very large organization.
And you have all the requisite skills, computer, email.
Emails. I do have some experience with emails.
She did not get the job. That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Yeah, she didn't get the job. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Meara Show. If you have a message for our Tuesday mailbag, how am I doing? Send it to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MearaShow.com.
Your tongue has teeth marks in it.
Our mailing address is TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. Great donut shop across the street.
Buy me a plane ticket.
Remember, voting the engine of freedom and democracy requires your participation. Please remember to register and vote. It really does matter. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Meara inviting you to join us for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Meara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MearaShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you. And go in peace.
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.
Okay. Come on.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Goodbye, TMO.